item that plans to deal with the consideration of the budget recommendations in effect, the deliberation on item projects presented to the committee, the briefing by the small by the Department of Small Business, development on the development of impact of 400 properties that have been supported by the department, the briefing by the Department of Small Business Development on action related plans and recommendations of the overhead report. I did have an interaction with the DG in relation to when we were preparing for the meeting to check our the state of business so that I can be able to run this meeting. And the DG indicated to me that the report on the remedial plan on recommendations on oversight report was not ready. And it's not only the one of the reasons that contributed to that was that some of the recommendations relate to the presentation that is going to be made today on the development of impact of the 400 properties. Meaning that if that report was presented today, it could then be an update to the median left. So the decision then that I arrived at, I applied my mind on that, and then I arrived at the decision that the DG is making a valid point. Because the remedial action plan also relates to what will be presented to the committee, and then it will be added to the remedial plan, which will then be presented at a later stage. So I think that there is logic in that. But I could not take this item out of the agenda today because it is part of the agenda. So it has to be reflected here so that we can then can report on how we are going to handle this. So what I'm then saying is that we are going to be preparing this matter to allow this report on the 400 properties, allow the department to take the comments that we are going to be making, fine-tune the remedial action, and bring it back to us.
In the long run, it will save time and we will also have quite a few of them.
Another program that you have up?
That's the wrong one. I was just wondering, timeline, when will the department then give us a briefing? Will it be by the end of the month, next week? Because I think we need to make sure that they prioritize this report. We're waiting long for it now. It's time that they pull up the socks and clean up the report. Thank you.
I will engage with the people after this meeting and then we can take action for this to be in next week's conference. This program will be then for next week in coming to the agenda. If it is not, then I will report next week as to when it will be after the meeting. Can we then move and take the apology?
I wanted to just raise the issue that I raised last week in terms of the composition of the committee and request that you report back to us if possible on your deliberations of the composition of the committee.
I'm going to be reporting on that to assist me with the apology. Honorable Supervisor.
Thank you, Comrade Chair. Thank you very much. It's not actually me requesting to go to the committee. The committee has asked for me to come over and I've told the work that I'm in, and if you want me to stay, I'll stay. The committee that cannot correct it, that you have asked me to come over, but I'm in your head. So, trust me, that I have to take you to the board and take you.
Honorable Speaker?
It's exactly for this reason where there's a misunderstanding between members that we're supposed to send this, our apologies via on in writing. So that every member in this committee understands why we apologize.
I hear you, but I also don't understand the issue of understanding, because some of the issues that would require members to excuse themselves from this meeting would be unforeseen reasons. Like in the case of Honorable Death, he didn't know that the other committee that he's serving in is not courageous, and as a result, he is then quick to go and join that committee. Also, when you were coming, when we were all coming here as members of the ANC, you didn't know that the Honorable Tapa is in another meeting, and therefore we'll be joining this meeting later. Meaning that if there was any decision that was going to be taken in the absence of Honorable Dev and Honorable Thapa, the ANC will be less represented. And we have, that is why we have a whip in a study group who will then coordinate together with another whip of another study group and the office of the chief whip if there is a need to shift members in between meetings. So it is not possible that all the time the apology will be in writing. And also, I don't think that an apology will not be understood if it is communicated verbally, because it's just a form of communication. Can I then explain the issue of representation of the ANC study group in the portfolio committee, which was briefed by Honorable Chan, in accordance to the rule, which was saying that all committees have got 11 members. And the ANC component would then have 6 members, and then the majority opposition would have 2 members, and the smaller party would have 3 members. We then make 11. After the issue was raised, I then contacted the office of the chief whip because the DA was saying, in terms of the rule, if the ANC is represented by 7 permanent members in a committee, the DA then qualifies for 3. And then it reduces the representation in the committee by smaller parties, meaning that 1 member, the smaller parties will have to take out 1 member so that the smaller party will then be represented by 2 members in the committee. The response from the office of the chief whip is that one of the members of the ANC is an alternative man. And it was a mistake to reflect that name, because what came from the office of the chief whip was reflecting all the members of the ANC as permanent members in the committee. But then they promised that they were going to correct that and provide us with the information which will reflect which of the 7 members of the ANC serving in this committee is an alternate member. We are waiting for that communication.
Thank you, Chair. I think that satisfies my query. I note obviously on the agenda today that the 7 members are still reflected as permanent members. So hopefully by this time next week, you will have made that decision and the 7th member will be reflected as an alternate. Sorry, my colleague just pointed something out. We have to obviously ensure that should 7 members at any point be here today, only 6 of them can vote.
Do you want to say anything, Honorable Kruger?
No.
Okay. Thank you. Thank you very much for that understanding. Have we dealt with all the apologies?
Tell you, comrade. Yeah. Tell the chapter, sir. The minister will be late because he's still having a committee meeting, executive committee meeting. But if she's early, she'll come to the meeting. Thank you.
Can I say something here? There is no rule in Parliament that says you cannot refer to other respondents if you want to be in the meeting. Yes, we are honorable members. What cannot be done is to refer to a member by his first name without acknowledging that the member is an honorable member. But also, the understanding of the word comrade means that there is somebody who cannot betray you, somebody that is in charge, and somebody that will betray the same thing in terms of the identity. So that's what the meaning. You can protect me. So that is the understanding. So it's a good thing to refer to others as comrades. Can we then, we accept all those apologies, can we then move to item number 3? Item number 3, in terms of the process, is that last week we deliberated on the budget review recommendations report. And what is contained in the budget review, we were actually assessing the performance of the department on the financial year 2016-2017. And the observations that are made in the report of the portfolio committee are observations of how the department performs, and the sources of that information that is contained here is the report of the Auditor General on the financial performance of the department. It is also the report of the Department of Learning, Monitoring and Evaluation, the Department of Public Service and Administration, Public Service Administration, and also the oversight report of the Portfolio Committee, as well as the budget review recommendations report of the previous year. We also use the tracking tool that was given us by the Portfolio Committee to check on how the department responds to the recommendations that are made by the Portfolio Committee. So the observations that are made here in this report are observations of how the department conducted its business in the financial year 2016 and 2017. It may happen that when the report was presented by the department and all the comments that were made by the Office of the Auditor General and the Department of Training, Monitoring and Evaluation and the Department of Public Service Administration could be used. When the Portfolio Committee engages with that information, there could be an impression that the department has not done what the committee has recommended. Because what the committee would have recommended during the period of the oversight and all that in 2017 and 2018 will appear in the right plan that will be presented to us at the beginning of next year, and also in the report that will be dealing with next year at this time. So I just want to emphasize on that, so that sometimes we get overwhelmed and forget that we are actually applying our mind to the performance of the department between 2016 and 2018. Therefore, the the observations that have been made relate to that period, as well as the recommendations they relate to that point. And then the process now. We dealt with this report last week, and we had put aside 2 days to deal with it. But because of the quality of the report, and it being very precise and specific to the point, we were able to finish our work in 1 week. And then we allowed members to go and further discuss the report in their political party to check as to whether there are things that are missing, points that need to be emphasized, changes that need to be made in the particular organization, and what we are then expected to do for the day is to speak on that. Because during that deliberation, there were also amendments that were made in the draft report, which we expect to see today. And then, after having commented on this second draft, we will then adopt the report. So that is what we are doing. I don't think that we will take much time. Also, knowing that the report was distributed yesterday through our unit, and also we are telling the committee to meet as a group to go through that. I now open the opportunity for members to comment. Honorable Kuta.
Chair, yes, last Wednesday, after the discussions, committee members had opportunity to add recommendations, if I'm correct. And I remember clearly that I had 3 recommendations, which the committee, of course, accepted. But unfortunately, I don't see it in the recommendations as listed point number eight in the document. So I don't know how we're going to deal with that.
We are editing. We are making amendments, and if you can remind us what were those recommendations, and then we can
as I do it now. Yeah. The first one was about the revisit of the Cooperative Act, but I'm covered there on the point seven, I think. Regulations. Yeah, 8.6. Am I right? 8.5. Yes, 8.5. So I'm covered there. So I'm right there. The second recommendation I made was about rural development, that we need to strategize how we're going to migrate rural development into this department. Everybody was happy about that one. And then the last point was the strategy on red tape before the end of the before the end of this financial year. I think that 2 points need to be added to the because both can have huge financial implications. Thank you.
Are there any comments?
Maybe because of a lack of words. What I'm saying is rural development and land reform. Rural development are the stepchild of that department. Because of the huge and incredible land issues at the moment, a lot of interest are on land reform. And what I'm saying is rural development needs to be part of this department. We need to bring this whole department of rural development over to this department. I think it's our job to develop the rural areas. And at the moment, there's not enough effort in developing the rural areas. So I don't know what they call it, but I think they call it migration, is it? Migration. I mean, one department moves to another department. Am I right? I don't know. So, my proposal was that we start with negotiation with Treasury, because it will cost most probably a lot of money, so that there's only one department called Land Reform, so that they can sort out the land issue in South Africa, because it's an issue that we need to resolve as soon as possible, and then this department must work on the rural development.
Before I give to the members to respond on that issue, there were two issues that we discussed around that. There was identification of the threat that poverty and underdevelopment affect more than the rest of life. And then the proposal from Honorable Kogawa that maybe the answer but there was also a discussion that was coming. The responsibility of this department is championing and coordinating championing development and coordinating core functions that are sitting in different departments to assist and fast track development of small businesses. I remember even making an example of the Department of Sport and Recreation. The Department of Sport and Recreation, when we were preparing to take into place, had the same mandate as this department in relation to the project 2020. And not assume all the functions that we're going to make the 2010 project, 2010 Software Well Hub project, enterprise. But what the Department of Sport and Recreation did was to identify areas of alignment. What is it that was supposed to be done by the Department of Tourism? What is it that was supposed to be done by the Department of Transport? What is it that was supposed to be done by the Department of Health, the Department of Police, all the departments, including CS of government? I even made an example that the stadiums were actually budgeted for at local government level. So it is not possible that everything that is done for small business will migrate from other departments and come to this department, because it would mean that it's overwhelmed. And also, the point that was advanced was that we are one government. South Africa has got one government, and there is Intergovernmental Relations Framework Act, and there is Integrated Development Planning. That coordination would then be facilitated. That was my understanding. That as much as we appreciated that poverty and unemployment is in rural areas, and there will be things that are done by the Department of Rural Development, which are for development of small businesses. But the nature of the department is that of coordination.
Surely, if you look at the example of the World Cup, there was no other department that was responsible for sport. Let's say, there was not a rugby department, a soccer department, and so on. So I understand what you say, but here we sit with rural development. Businesses. We need to develop the rural areas. And as I say, it's the same function of two departments. And we might as well, because of the fact that the land reform issue is this huge issue, I'm just afraid that we put rural development a little bit aside and concentrate more on land reform. If we take rural development in this department, we can concentrate, because that, and it's a much different story of starting a business in rural areas and start business in the city. So we need to concentrate even more on rural development, because that's where our people are suffering. So, and that's why I'm saying, I would like, and this is my proposal, I would like to see us as a department taking that competency of the rural development and land reform over just the rural development part, so that we can fast track. The rural development is nice and popular now. So that we can fast track development in rural areas. And we can concentrate on the system of
I've noted the details in this book. Honorable Mabasa, followed by Honorable Norris, followed by Honorable.
initial motivation and the way it was articulated, so that if I'm missing something, it will be because of that. But I think when we talk of migration, it is too strong a word for our needs. I think in a
Honorable Kruger is proposing is a noble idea, but my fear is we do not have enough capacity to, and two, it's not within our mandate. It is equal fusion in migration of department. It's the mandate of the executive, as far as I understand. But we can still achieve what because the rural development it's a big initiative, it's a big problem of its own. But we can still achieve what Honorable Kruger is proposing through the transversal agreement that we always talk of in this meeting. Ours, Honorable Kruger, would be to push the department to sign these transitional agreements with all relevant departments that we think they relate to our mandate, and also demand a report from the department to say, let them show us a list of the departments they have signed the transitional agreement with, and then we note from there as to whether this department that we think features within our mandate is captured there. But to say we might not be beyond our mandate on the program. But as someone from the early areas, I understand your concern you're talking about. But my fear is within the education, capacity, and mandate. Let's push for transversal action. Thank you.
Thank you, Chair. I think, as Honorable Zimbabwe just said, that it is a noble idea indeed.
But we have also long appreciated that small business in the way it is at the center of development. And as it's at the center of development, indeed, the issue of transversal agreements is of vital importance. That they are to run with it in ensuring that all these departments that are key. But there's also Department of Culture that in terms that has adopted this framework, the integrated urban development framework. I think it's also important for us maybe to take note of that framework as small business development. Maybe it will also add value and assist us in terms of maybe meeting the concerns that Honorable Kumata in addressing maybe what he is concerned about in terms of maybe being the base maybe that we are working with, that maybe it is a bit slow in terms of addressing the rural challenges. But at the very same time, we are also to appreciate that there are developments that are there. The issue of urbanization is also there. So as it is also there, we are to maybe work together with COPTA in terms of this integrated development framework. Thank you.
Thank you very much. I think that I understand what the Honorable Cook is saying, because rural development is very important, and as small businesses in developing business in the rural areas, it's more than just department. But I think we have the same problem, because even rural development is more than rural development. They need water, they need electricity, they need all sorts of other things, keeping themselves as rural development. So I'm not sure that bringing rural development here will necessarily solve the problem. And also, as one member said, I also not sure that it will bring our money to decide which department does what. But I understand what he's trying to resolve, because indeed that department is seen to be very reform and everything, but I'm not sure that the solution is the problem is the right one at the moment. So I think for our sake, working with the local government, working with other departments, for now, is something that we should concentrate on. Thank you.
Chair, can I then just change the proposal then and say that the department must then come up with a strategy? How are we going to develop our rural areas sustainable? If it's okay with the
committee. Chair, unconditionally, I support that revised proposal of Honorable Cook. We need this strategy. That will be
my understanding is that the strategy that is being proposed is the strategy that we have a master strategy for development of small businesses and cooperatives in the country. And then we have what top two rural development taking into consideration that even in rural areas, there are areas that are substantial poverty modes, which are more poorer than other areas, which then requires that there be a specific focus that is informed by a strategic approach on how to deal with those those areas, which will not sometimes even have even the basic infrastructure. So my understanding is that that's what we are saying. We are not saying we will have a separate strategic plan for small business development in rural areas. We will have a specific focus within the broader strategy of developing small businesses and cooperatives in the
the department can give me then just in which program is that specific strategy talking about of the department? Which program? Because I got three or four programs. And my problem is we don't concentrate on rural development. We went on oversight and we saw the effort of CIPA, whoever. I mean, we even see when we in rural areas, we see the effort of DTI, Department of Trade and Industry, with their incubator. How they, incubators look like, and what type of interest they have in their incubators, which is supposed to help small businesses. So what I see with my eyes on the ground, what's happening, I don't see and I don't hear anything correcting that from the department.
Thank you, Chair. I think it's just important for us to stress the fact that 40% of the people of this country live in rural areas. And by far the greatest amount of poverty exists in the rural areas. And the only way in which that poverty is going to be alleviated, apart from the social grants, is through the development of the local economy. And I think that what Honourable Kruger is saying and what the members of this committee are acknowledging is that fact, but that the department is not making a greater amount of emphasis on it. So, we've also been saying that cooperatives should get more of a boost. And that is true. But also through the development of small businesses, that there needs to be greater coordination and greater focus by this department coordinating the role between all the departments. What Oral Lamini Zuma was saying, water sanitation, roads, development is an all-embracing concept. And so what I think this committee needs to say is that the recommendation should be a greater emphasis by the department on developing the 40% of the people who live in rural areas through X, Y, and Z, through whatever means, cooperative agreements, transversal agreements, discussions through department, this, that, and the other. A greater emphasis placed upon it. That's, I think, what this committee needs to say.
Honourable
Leder.
No, thanks, Chair. Now, Chair, I understand the concern of Honourable Kruger, but my worry is that this department is mandated with a specific focus that the department needs to create a conducive environment for our people to participate in small businesses. So, if he's saying we need to migrate the rural area, it's going to be difficult for this department to do that because it's like we are saying to that department, work with us, but our focus is that we need to create an environment where our people can participate so that we should work with all the departments. There is no specific department that you need to focus on. And I don't think it's a mandate of this department to do that. The mandate is that we need to create an environment for our people to participate. So we need to do that transversal agreement and make sure that all other needs that are sitting in other departments should be bringing to this department. But you can't just be specific and focus one department that should work with that. I don't think it is a mandate of people, and it's going to be very difficult to do that. Thank you.
I think there is a rule that allows one community to interact with another. Maybe in addition to what we are saying, we should also interact with the family of Muslims and express what we are saying here, because what everyone is saying is true, that rural development is very important, and our people in the rural areas serious challenges, and some of the co-ops even that are failing are probably failing because the supporting infrastructure that they need may not be there. So I think we can push forward once we get the department to make sure that in its own strategy it depends on those, but we also interact with the department of rural development and see what in their own strategy and discuss. Because when we went to the rural areas, we found something when we visited, but me, I was a good guest of where I grew up. So using that rule, I don't know what rule number to comprise to, but I think there is a rule that allows for. Thank you.
Thank you. What would assist us to achieve what we want to achieve? Because I think that every proposal was based on seeing a need for developing rural areas, which I think is a very important point that you are raising on our school. And all members are in agreement with that. What will help us to achieve what we are supposed to poverty and create employment in rural areas is the application of the intergovernmental relations framework system. And that is what guides the mandate of the department in as far as coordination and planning of the transitional government. Another piece of legislation that assists us to achieve that is the integrated planning process. We start with the national social development perspective, the provincial economic development and growth strategy, the integrated development, the integrated local economic development strategy, district and national level, the local economic development strategy at local municipalities. All those are instruments that actually will enable us to achieve exactly what we need. But also in governance departments,
right, what we are doing, what we are doing, what we are doing.
I want to remind members that both parliament and executive have adopted a cluster approach. A cluster approach means that portfolio committees that are in the economic transformation would meet as a cluster around a particular project, and also would meet as committee to committee. That is what the cluster approach is. And if we remember very well, we have had in this committee an interaction with the portfolio committee on agriculture and the portfolio committee on rural development. And the three committees acknowledged that they have to work together, which then means that both at portfolio committee level, we need to make that part of our strategy and our annual performance plan when we gain a moving forward. In the same way that the department would be doing that. I think that is what we ask the staff to achieve.
Chair, I agree, and but we must remember we're in our fourth year now. We're in fourth year now, and all this plans and strategies and whatever we can call it, it's not new things. It exists since we started 4 years ago. But I can go to tomorrow to rural areas. They're in a worse position than it was 4 years ago. So if there's no KPI for development of rural areas for the department. Am I right? Is there any KPI for it? I don't know. So we need to, we must remember this, the RRS recommendations. So we need to somehow make a recommendation that the department can start concentrating on all those tools you were talking about. Because they did, and I agree 100%. But nobody is touching it. Nobody is using it. So we need to, as a committee, sort of, I don't want to use the word manage, do oversight of the department so that they can make sure that they concentrate that 40% of their time, as Honourable Chan said, 40% of our people stay in rural areas. That 40% of their time and effort goes into rural areas. Because at the moment, it's easier for a member of the department to go and visit a small business in Pretoria because it's from his doorstep and go and visit a small business in Dr. Jason municipality. And we need to have some sort of a system, and that's the recommendation. And they must come up with a strategy. And if they put all those tools and strategies in the strategy, let it be that. But then we can, at each quarter, then we can monitor and oversee the follow-up of the strategy. But at the moment, there's no strategy. If the department can tell me there's a strategy, I will withdraw.
I just want to correct that, Honourable Cole, that we agree that we are looking at 2016, 2017, which we all agree as to what are the gaps. And then the recommendations that we are making relate to the 2018-2019 strategy. So I don't think that the recommendations that we are making today would then be viewed in a sense that the department has to respond now and show the strategy now. the recommendations that are contained here to inform the strategy of the department, as well as our strategic planning that we need to take in the beginning of the year. So we are not differing in terms of the need, and we are also not differing in terms of prioritizing that need. We are also not different in terms of how we see it being addressed. The only difference that you are saying, Honorable Cook, is that you wanted to break it, which is what we will then look at when we are interrogating the strategic plan that will be presented to us in the beginning of next year, because we need a new decision. Can we move forward? Are there any other comments in relation to the speech to be asked?
I'm sorry, but I need to say this. I can't see why it's the problem. Why are we moving away from and I understand everybody saying we agree. Why don't we just put it down as a recommendation? As easy as that. And say the department must come up with a strategy, because if the department is going to increase their effort on rural development, right, it will have financial implications for this department. It will cost money. It will cost money. So what I'm saying, why don't we put it in the budget review report and say that they must come up with a strategy and they must budget it and everything, so that, because by the next year when we talk about this again, the department will just pull up and say there was no money. Okay?
Honorable Ambassador, followed by Honorable Dominico, and then I will make the content advisor to take us through what the notes that he has been making and what is also contained in this report, which may take us about the because I didn't hear anyone saying that we shouldn't speak. So I'm puzzled by your question that why can't we, because no one has said we can't do it. But what I would have expected maybe was going to say, let the content advisor read what has been put, and then let's see whether it covers what you are proposing.
And I'll cover. Because you see, the important thing is that rural development is not as if it's floating somewhere, and so that you know it has captured it. You know, it's not, it is there. But the proposal that the content advisor is okay. Another way that I would add is that we must have a bias towards, as we execute our work, we must have a bias towards the rural areas.
I think what we can put is how the department is going to prioritize more people in the development of the rural areas. Assess their numbers. Because if we say they must have a strategy to develop the rural areas, the big difference. Their mandate is about more, it's about developing small and medium businesses and cooperatives and so on. So let it be a strategy, but prioritizing rural areas. Then that we should cover. Because otherwise we will then be having a problem that not their mandate will be developed. But we must prioritize rural areas in terms of
let's enforce them then to deal with all these problems in the world as opposed to beginning rural development in all manifestations.
I just want to make it clear that I never, ever in my mind had anything else but development of business, cooperatives and small businesses. Electricity and all those other things is somebody else's problem. But I'm talking about job creation. And you must remember in the National Development Plan, 90% of job creation must be done by small businesses. So yes, I agree 100% with my colleague across the Raja, I'm talking the whole time about business because I'm sitting in small business development. So whenever I say something about small business development and corporate or so whatever.
Yeah.
Shepherd,
because
I will not be here when you conclude this matter, may I suggest that the issues that were raised by my colleague, firstly about remembering the mandate of this committee, has to be taken into consideration. And secondly, the issue of capacity. Obviously, we're questioning the issue of capacity. If rural development comes or migrates, I'm not sure whether the department has the capacity to be able to do that. Transversal agreement, I think, is the way to go. And as Honorable Mabasa has said, when you do your job and you develop small businesses, cooperatives, you should be biased towards rural areas. I would want to know from my colleague if we take this approach of why do we develop small businesses and cooperatives, if they're biased towards rural areas, and there are also transversal agreements with other departments, whether that is not going to satisfy his concern, because we all share the concern that rural areas must be developed. But if they are prioritized in everything that we do, we need that time.
Can I, because it's taking too long. We have made the point. And the point is, there is a need to prioritize development of small businesses and cooperatives in the rural areas. But also let us be mindful of the fact that there is what is called township economy. So we should then, in phrasing our recommendations, include rural economy and township economy. Because both are important, particularly for transformation of the economy. Can we then allow the content advisor to?
And I'm 100% with Lumi that strategy can work, and I will be fine with it. But we must remember it will cost money. If we start prioritizing the rural areas, because with our budget at the moment, there's no way that we will be sufficient enough to do our job in rural areas and in downside, as you call it. So we need some recommendation must go to visit to say we need more money because of this. And that's why I'm saying the department must have a strategy. Transversal agreement, put it on paper and say, yes, this is going to be our strategy, and we need so much money to fulfill our strategy. That's all I'm saying.
The shelters we are in, I can see that we are passionate of being to oversight and your team. We all are there. But let us remember what is the best of the meeting. This meeting is about budget review recommendations report, meaning that our recommendations that we are making will have a
a financial implication from the perspective of treasury. There is no recommendation that we will make here in terms of improving the services that the department has to provide to develop SMEs and cooperatives. There is no recommendation that will not have the financial implication. We are dealing with a budget review recommendation here. When treasury reads this and the appropriations committee, they will find a recommendation that we are making, and then decide, the Minister of Finance will then decide as to, together with the department will then go and cost that recommendation that is being implemented. And then it will then inform the department, the treasury, to allocate the resources. There is no way that this committee can then go and talk to treasury. We are producing this report to then indicate that there has to be this particular area that needs to be funded. We are not going to be saying, articulating the financial implication, because this is not our money. It's the mandate of another department.
That's why I want to see the recommendation.
Yes, we all agree, Honorable Kruger. I want to close this matter, please. We have all, Honorable Kruger. I've never seen you behaving like this. We have all agreed that this recommendation is important. You raised your hand when I was actually asking the content advisor to read what he has written as a recommendation that you are making. There's no one who says that recommendation is going to ever happen.
Then I'm fine.
Sure.
Okay, thanks, Chair. Chair, a quick one from my side. Was it possible to take members through 7.7? We are actually making this observation. The portfolio committee is making this observation on 7.7 and on 7.17. It could be maybe the examples used are not as the same as one of the Kruger is raising with respect to rural development. In terms of a medium-term strategic framework, service delivery outcome for the department, they have a mandate to deliver on chapter 7. Which speaks to rural development. That's what we are saying here, that perhaps the challenge for the department is to translate the policy priorities into programs, strategic programs or strategic objectives and key performance indicators for the delivery by the department. The second one, Chair Pepin, is on 8.7. I wanted to honorable Kruger to assist me on 8.7C. We are saying there as a portfolio committee, the department must engage national treasury with respect to the possibility of relocating small, micro, medium, and cooperative enterprises, functions, directorates, and budgets currently sitting in other departments, not just rural development. There are various other departments. I'm specific here, Chairperson. I'm not saying the entire component of the department must be relocated, because that has other implications. We are not at liberty to approve that, but it must go via the president. You heard, for instance, the change of the name to include cooperatives. The department is not at liberty to change that, but it has to be done via the president. So the relocation of the entire rural development component has those implications as well, in terms of changing even the name of the department, not just small business development, the rural development and land reform. So those are things that you need to take into account. So Honorable Kruger will assist me in terms of perhaps rephrasing that point C. Another perhaps Honorable Kruger recommendation that I have, we can also look at
8.10, to include that recommendation under 8.10, where we speak of the master plan, to perhaps include the development of, I don't know how we would want to phrase this, because I know for a fact that the Rural Development Department, they do have a strategy that Honorable Kruger is referring to. It could be the difference will be here and there in terms of the one that was developed by the Department of Small Business Development vis-a-vis the one that has been developed by Rural Development Strategy. So my recommendation really would be to say, let's look at 8.10 in terms of including that recommendation on what the group is referring to. Perhaps he would then assist me. We can even, as me and he, engage in terms of how we will fine-tune it. I don't know. It's just my contribution to the thing.
Before I get to whatever contribution that has to be made has to be given for free. Because if today we are also adopting the system, so there will be no room for a one-on-one engagement or a recommendation that has to be in a report for the system. Everything that has to be debated has to be debated here.
Thank you. No, I was going to say, we spent time debating this point. So I think even the content advisor should have been listening to the, was listening. So he shouldn't go to the first input. He should go to where he ended. Because now he's still referring to migration and all that, but that's where we started. Debated and we ended somewhere, and I think that's where we should be then putting where we ended here about the prioritization of rural areas and the township economy and the strategy that reflects that. So where you put it, I don't know, but I think we can't go back to where we started. We must now. I think you would need us. Not necessarily on where we started, but on where we ended. Because that's where we have all at. The other thing I'd just like to add is that the department should not be asking in this. We should have the understanding that the department is going to do that. Because the Honorable Kruger is right that the department is under the state. But they will not see any resources that come. Resources follow strategy. So the department must have a strategy that can attract those resources. So that when there is a discussion in cabinet, in the, and then treasury, there is a clear strategy of what you are wanting to do and why that money is needed. Because we can write everything here if we should, our own recommendation. But if the strategy does not reflect that property so that the resources can then follow the strategy, there will be no more resources. Whether you agree that there needs to be more resources to the community.
Thank you very much for the chair. Following on the on when I read 8.7.2, I appreciate the part of the budget that are residing in other departments, but should by right belong to us. But I also want to I want us to reflect carefully that we must not come across as the other department must not have a responsibility of developing SMMEs and cooperatives. You know, we mustn't understand it that way. So that if another department is faced by a president, the president says, what are you doing for small businesses and cooperatives? That department must not say, no, we're doing nothing, because the Department of Small Business is doing that. So it's a tricky issue, but I'm just putting across that point, that everybody must still have responsibility, although we have a super obligation to run institutions. What could be tricky is the resources that are residing in other departments that are specifically set aside for SMEs and small and cooperatives. We must fight that they come to us, but we must not say, don't touch SMEs and cooperatives. Thanks for the question.
Madam
Kruger?
I think it's a step off this point. I'm covered by the conference report. We need a master plan. We must ask the force to bring in all the bikes that they have today, rural development, in the community, and also see the what is done.
Can you help me understand which point that was said by the president at one of that other group? I'm asking that question because the point raised by Honorable Kamini is saying, we have read this, these are our recommendations. We are debating them. So when the content advisor is giving an opportunity by the chair to raise the recommendation, the content advisor should not take us back to what we were critiquing. The content advisor must give us a new recommendation which is informed by the debate that has taken place in this meeting. That is the first point. The second point that has been advanced by Honorable Mabasa is saying that 8.7c can be misconstrued if it talks about the migration of function, directorate, and budget currently residing in other departments, which are meant for development of small business. And we have been explaining this again and again and again that the coordination nature of the department and the signing of the transfer agreement takes care of that, because it will not be possible for the Department of Small Business, with the capacity that we have, to do everything that relates to development of small businesses and cooperatives, which is the core function of another department. But it is designed to develop small business. It's not possible. What this department needs to do is to use the instrument of transversal agreement. It is also to use the instrument of integrated learning processes to facilitate that there is alignment in planning and budgeting for development of small businesses and properties by other departments who have a role to play in terms of their core business, but the core business has got a positive impact if it is provided, and it has got a negative impact if it is not provided. That is what we are saying. I want to be clear as to which point does Honorable Kruger say the content advisor covers it, because the report is not the report of the content advisor, it's the report of the portfolio committee. And what needs to be taken into consideration are the points that are being made by the portfolio committee.
Yes. Point number one, which I don't agree, is that me and the content advisors talk afterwards. Of course, I agree 100% this is a committee's report. So, yeah, that's the first point. The second point, the fact that I asked for a recommendation about rural development, if you remember correctly, I withdraw that point. On one stage, so we totally off that point, and I asked for us to put something in, something like a strategy from the department to concentrate on rural development. So I'm totally off the point. I withdraw the point of migration schemes. So the master plan part, I want to see in the department's master plan. How are they going to prioritize rural development? So that, but and that's, so I will wait for the master plan, and then I will carry on with it. Because I want to see KPIs of officials and everything so that we can make sure that rural development does take place. And then of course will be then the BG's problem, if there's money or not money. Of course, we can't go back and say, sorry, we didn't do some rural development plan because of the surges. No. I mean, then 2019 will be upon us, and nothing about rural development will be done. Because we don't have time to make one another mistake. And that's all I'm saying. So I'm covered with the master. As I say, I don't want to speak to you after this. Not at all.
Okay. We then have a content advisor reading to us what he has captured in relation to the discussion that has taken place. And then have the response from the department in terms of their common understanding of what they are saying in relation, particularly to this point of the rural economy.
Sure. Quick one again. I requested perhaps that we can we include this under section 8.10, or it should be a new strategy altogether, or a new recommendation altogether. Because if we are to continue on 8.10, this is how it reads. On 8.10, the sentence ends with before 31 March 2018. So I continue to say end. How this will prioritize rural development in line with the APG aspirations of unlocking the potential of SMMEs, cooperatives, townships, and rural enterprises, as captured in the SONA 2015 or 2016 SONA. I'm not sure if this is the
first.
Yeah, I would
want
us to
include
that in in addition to the master plan, the national strategy for cooperatives and SMEs with a specific focus on township economy and rural economy. Then you can add to the rest, but
Yeah, thank you for that. I was just thinking, will informal three vendors and those four under one of those two? If so, then I'm covered. Otherwise, we must just add informal retailers.
Continue from a master plan and a national strategy for cooperatives and SMMEs development with a specific focus on township economy and rural economy. And then honoring having to appear there. And I would think that Omar Gunter can assist us on this one, because this was the topic of debate in the budget. What we have seen also is neglect of the street vendors in terms of providing them even with just holding small tables to put there, and they put in falling crates, and also some of them are just to give them a small head and a bandido. It was the honorable tender issue in terms of the vendors, because we see big neglect. And also they are exploited in terms of where to put their goods in the night. And then they are charged by the retail big businesses for space to rent, a space to put your trolley in the night and then take it out during the day. And most of those people are trading there with infants on their back. In some situations with no toilet, and it's raining, it's windy. So I'm then saying that let us in turn will lead us into that, because it is your area of focus. The street vendors, in terms of, Honorable Cooker is advancing the point that on top of the township economy and rural economy, there is neglect of street vendors. And we should also look at how we improve them here. And I'm saying you raised very important points during the participation.
No, ma'am. Thank you, Chairperson. I think I would agree with the Honorable Cooker that we have been neglected in the focus. Because in the debate, we did mention that the department should find creative and innovative ways in terms of getting a budget that will be directed to the street vendors, and they have to also be prioritized, because they are also contributing towards the economy of the country, you know, but they are not considered as people that are important. But the important thing is for us to ensure that they don't remain as street vendors, but they need to grow and
they are very chain.
Yes. As much as I was saying that if you're talking of township economy and rural economy, they are already living in a fight. Because they are, you know, I was saying because when we understand the people that maybe are participating actively in terms of business, what type of people that are there. But now, as Honorable Kruger has mentioned it, I understand that, you know what, they are not even. Even in the issue of municipalities, the bylaws that are there are not in favor of them. Even when we were experiencing drought, you know, farmers did get some compensation from the government, but them as retailers in terms of what they are buying from market, the produce, the price when it's up, you know, and them, you know, they are not treated in a manner that even ourselves as customers, when we go to your farmer shop, you don't negotiate. But with street vendors, we tend to negotiate the price with them. You know, we are asking so and so, but these are the people that are need to be looked at and prioritized. That's it, the chair.
And there is a budget. If it is 50-50 contribution from the department and the municipality, a municipality that does not have the revenue base will not be able to provide the 50% that is required in order to provide facilities for Ama
infrastructural needs for SMMEs and cooperatives needs to be provided by other departments and other spheres. So that if we have not covered, because that's what something that all of us all the time. Thanks,
say something about that point. I agree 100%, but I think it's a part of the transversal rather than in our view before. And we must make sure that the transversal agreements cover those points that Honorable Boss has just talked about. Must be stipulated in the transversal whoever we go for. But it can't be in our view.
What I hear, Honorable, if I were to lay what is the point that is being made by Honorable, in response to what is being said by Honorable, what I hear, Honorable, now is there is a need for highlighting that the development and sustainability of SMMEs and cooperatives depends on provision of adequate
then hear honorable spoken statements. We should emphasize that point on the how part of it, how could that be done, and then present the transversal agreement that needs to be signed should indicate that they are based on provision of the infrastructure that is required for development of this of SMEs. No, could you please also listen when you are talking? Sometimes a point is not understood if it is put in a diplomatic manner. And the members have read this. It's very understandable. But they wanted this point to be put in a particular manner so that no one would say, I did not understand what was meant. And I correct. Is there any other point that you would want to pick on?
My other point, and I don't talk to start the debate again, was about the red tape stuff. Are we all happy about that, that it must be part of the, that the department must come up to the red tape strategy for small business and for business? No, the strategy. I just want the strategy. Because, remember I said last time, this rollout of municipality guidelines is not working. It's not working, so we need a strategy. And if the municipality guidelines, if the strategy, then I must bring it to this committee so that we can look at it. But we need a strategy. And that strategy also brings out financial.
I think that when we were discussing the red tape bill, we actually agreed on that bill. We didn't see the bill as a desirable bill, but we saw the problem of red tape as a problem that needed to be addressed. And I would therefore say that it's correct to say we need to do a clear key performance area that would actually address the issue of red tape, because it is a problem. But all that we said is we could not agree on was that it should be addressed through a bill. And also we identified that in addressing that, it is not only the Department of Small Business that has to deal with that. There is also the role that has to be played by the Department of Monitoring, Selling Monitoring and Evaluation.
The issue of the high interest rates, I think we debated this point last time, and I think again it should be quite clear.
clearly that this kind of interest rates are actually impoverishing or even bankrupting our people rather than helping them as well as this basic lifestyle. And therefore to say that these high interest rates are really not helping, they are not acceptable because no small business can actually thrive in this industry. So, making their situation less than it is. So I think, yes, we can trust people with English language, but it must be very clear and very precise that we are saying that things are not helping, they are not doing what they are supposed to do. The results are not what they are supposed to do, because government can use money to bankrupt our people. So these interest rates are not acceptable in something that we found about it. It must just be really clear in that paragraph. And we have a long debate on this in the debate, but I'm saying it's not necessarily captured. We still have the basic ones before we debate the issue. We need to capture the spirit of that
debate. Thank you very much for it. It's a very primary point, this one, because actually, if we don't get that right, we are not going to get the implementation. But I want to raise another related one, unless I have missed. There is this point that has also been terrorizing us. The point where we have been arguing that intermediaries tend to overcharge our SMEs and corporations, and that as a conduit of taking funds to the end users, I think we should strive that you know, the essence is go in between, because they exploit us in that position, in that using that space. I don't know how we can phrase it such that if we can do without intermediaries, all the best, so that it's a direct route. Without them, sometimes it is them that take the bulk of what should go to the end users. That is the question.
Yeah, thank you, Chair. The same point that I want to make, that maybe we can perhaps put it as a point in the recommendation that the department explore alternative ways of financing, getting finances to these co-ops. And your example, which I like very much, the issue of stock belts, because I know those things do not default stock belts, and they've been running for years and years in our communities. So those kind of alternative ways of getting funding to the end user. Then I don't know, I'm not too clear, I didn't get proper last time. Is there an intermediaries act? Is there an act called Intermediaries Act? There's no such act.
We were told by FIFA.
Okay. So if there's
that, they are governed by the act.
By the act. If there's an act, then we must look at that act. And amend the act. We must amend the weak part of the law we must amend that act with equitable participation of 40% interest. 40% even is too much. Now you're talking about 40 to 110%. Too much, you must, two things in effect, you must, the act must be with the act that governs the intermediary, the act that governs them, you must read, you must amend the act, review it and amend that act. Secondly, you need to, the department must explore alternative ways or means to get funding to the end user, departmental funding to the end user. So we must explore alternative ways.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Yes, I think it will be much easier for us to go and ask the Minister to look at the regulations in the Act, because I'm sure that will sort out the interest rates of a lot of transfers. So maybe if somebody can ask the Minister just to go and look into the Act, if that Act exists. Actually, I made a note last time. I want to go and check, and I never, there were too much things happening last time. So, if there's an Act, I think the Minister can sort of fix this just with a regulation or two, which is an easy way to go, and it can have an immediate effect on cooperatives and, you know, the receivers of this thing.
These things get captured the way we're sitting here. Because next time when the department comes to us and we'll ask the department, if you'll explore alternative means of getting funding, then because we are wanting the recommendations, we want these things to happen, and we want the public out there to know that this is what this committee is doing.
I'm sure you have observed that after debating this point that you are making, I then asked the conduct advisor to do what you have captured. Can you...
Before
you do that, we have set a repeatedly that firstly, there is a cooperative bank development agency. Currently, it's focusing on regulating than promoting the establishment of the bank. We tried to invite the agency to report to Treasury. And at that time, we received a very hostile response from the bank. However, the crux of the matter here is that the Cooperative Bank Development Agency is mandated to regulate but at the same time facilitate establishment of cooperative banks. And cooperative banks are a way of enabling cooperatives to become self-reliant. Instead of going to commercial banks and going to intermediaries, they themselves establish their own banks, and the service that is provided by the cooperative bank to cooperatives is finance. And at this moment, they don't have financing institutions that are providing them with finance, yet we have an agency that is supposed to promote that. So if we can also put a recommendation that we up the cooperative bank development agency to focus on the establishment of cooperative banks. But also in several times we made mention of exploring the Grameen Bank kind of an approach, and
Honorable Chan would add on this. He also talked of an agency, a finance agency in South Africa located in Grameen that has adopted the Grameen Bank and it's working well. If the department can also explore that, can you add on that, Honorable Chan?
Yes, Chair. It's called the Small Enterprise Foundation. It was formed in 1992 in Benin. Very successful, and it is adopting the Grameen Bank model, specifically for women. It's operating in hundreds of villages across South Africa, mainly in rural areas and townships. The department does have some contact with it, mainly through CIFA. And CIFA is providing finance to the NBF, which is on lending at roughly 3% per month. Now, bearing in mind that these loans are normally repaid within 6 months, that means that they're paying an effective 18% on the loan. And it's significant that even when the loans are paid back, most of the beneficiaries come back for another loan, which suggests that they don't believe that they're being exploited. I think the lesson to be learned from this is that prudent lending doesn't just involve charging affordable interest rates. It also involves providing support, guidance, mentorship, training, those sorts of things which allow the business to grow and develop to be able to repay the loan. Hence the success rate of SBF with an impairment rate of less than 1%, which compares with CIFA's 47%. Chair, just to pick up on an earlier point, if I may, last week I read the annual report of the Cooperative Banks Development Agency. And I think it makes for very depressing reading. This organization has something like 35 employees, and it regulates the cooperative banks, of which there are only two registered in this country, and something in the region of 30 other institutions, which are not banks, but they are lending institutions. I think it would be a good idea for us to invite this agency to our committee and ask them, from their perspective, what is preventing the formation of more banks in the cooperative sector, and what is their view on the of the whole financing aspect of cooperatives in this country. Mr. Chair.
Yeah, I think it's a good question. It's something that we already try to do. Unfortunately, the response was actually very negative in terms of us inviting the agency. The response was actually from the minister, not the agency. Minister Ntantanele said we are the cooperative bank development agency doesn't account to the total. I find that question. It accounts to treasury and therefore he has instructed them not to come to the total.
I think that's disgraceful. And I think that we should go back to the new minister of Uganda and say to him that you cannot have a cooperative bank development agency without the other institutions that have been mandated by the Cooperatives Act, which are the Cooperatives Development Agency and the Cooperatives Tribunal. So, I mean, one without the other two makes no sense at all. No wonder we have so few banks. But it seems to me that former finance minister Manning was hiding behind a veil of skepticism which exists within Treasury as to the efficacy of the co-op generally. And I think that we need to get to the bottom of this efficacy. Because, you know, you're feeding them with one hand and you're taking away with the other. Either this government has a strategy for developing co-ops or it doesn't. There's no point in having a figure of a development bank agency pretending that co-ops are part of the strategy when it doesn't actually get any backup from other departments, which are mandated through legislation to provide other agencies to support co-ops. So, do I believe that this committee should take this up?
That might be useful to members in this discussion. We are having a conversation with the cooperative bank development agency, and recently it was in September or July this year. There's some new legislation became effective, which they call the to increase regulation. That in fact removed the regulatory function from the cooperative bank development agency. That function is now vested in the Financial Services Commission that does all of that, and other regulatory functions was vested in the Reserve Bank. So the agency is in fact reduced to capacity building. It no longer has a regulatory function. And I think that there is now a keenness to shed that function because it overlaps with what the CEDA does and the post pre-investment support that CEPA does, etc. That is part of the conversation. And I think that it might be I would like to support that the chair to consider to invite them, because I know at the end of the last quarter, sometime before the reset, the agency and some of the APEC structures, the cooperative APEC structures, appear, I think it was in front of the, I don't know if it was in front of the Finance Committee, but they were in fact talking about, because the NAFTA, the one APEC body, has got a strong move, and they are working towards establishing a cooperative bank, which they said would be registered before September next year. And just linking my comments to the previous conversation about rural development, to say that we actually do have a very, very active agreement with the Department of Rural Development, and one of those registered cooperative banks, the Mzansi one, was funded by Rural Development. And also, I mean, Rural Development coordinates, they lead Outcome 7, which is around, I think before it was vibrant rural economies, but I think now it's for comprehensive rural development and food security. So I think you refer to the cluster system and how we work around rural development. I think if we respond to the recommendations we took, that the committee could be containing the committee's report, will provide that information. Because I think the sensitive is also around mandates of other departments.
I think that what you need to appreciate here is that there is a gap in terms of financing small businesses and co-ops. That is the problem that we are identifying. The existing instruments are not helpful to SMEs and co-ops. That is something that you say you want to address. But in addition to that, we are then saying the department should also explore other means of making ethylene and cooperatives have access to finance in a manner that is self-reliant, because the Grameen Bank model is 90% owned by the borrower. And the cooperative model encourages cooperatives who would have gone to an intermediary to actually establish their own cooperative bank, which would provide them with a service of giving loans to themselves, which then reduces the interest rate because they decide themselves on how much the interest rate is going to be. Then the third point that we are making is that there is a cooperative bank development agency that is in existence, but how we restructure and modify that service is happening without consultation and engagement. And we are therefore saying, one, in addition to the process that is taking place at departmental level, there has to be a process that takes place at portfolio committee level, which will then broaden the understanding on their side in terms of what are the needs that we see, and also on our side in terms of what is it that they have been doing and what the direction is moving forward. I thought that that is what we are saying. If I have missed the point, please add. Okay, so we are done with that one. Is there any other point that you would want to make in terms of the report? You know, I have an addition to point to 8.68. It is informed by our engagement with what we will be discussing next week. Telecommunication service provider, airport or small businesses. In our previous engagement on that topic, we pulled out a cabinet resolution of the 7th of November 2007, which talks about the 10 goods and services, which 80% of them have to be supplied by small businesses. The 30% is in addition to that. So there is 85% for this group as a cabinet resolution of the 7th of November 2007, which then says, out of the 10, the 10 goods and services, 80% of that has to be supplied by small businesses. Then come the 80% procurement policy, which came as a result of the 2016 SONA, where the president then pronounced that 80% of goods and services from will be procured from small businesses and cooperatives by state-owned companies. But I sometimes go to complex Mr. Price and just find a grassland. We go to I once sold a handkerchief. I know I once sold it, but I buy it from women. Made in China, but it's bamboo. It does a straight edge. Bamboo is there in South Africa. Are we restricting the development of small businesses, opening markets for small businesses? SMEs and companies, only to government, or we want to push it further? Because in other countries, it's there. In India, it's more than 700 products that can only be purchased from small businesses. We have not implemented the 10 set aside, a decision taken in 2007. 30% is not yet a policy that is, has been pushed and is invisible unless we don't know. Then, are we only saying we will be able to transform and create 9.9 million new jobs in terms of access to market by only buying from government and not focus on the how we make the private sector also. But I'm saying this because we have had the retail industry here. They were saying they are happy to do that. But the problem is the supply development and how we coordinate for them to buy from small businesses. So, what are we saying? Then my proposal would be that department should explore and push for this policy, for the implementation of these policies, and in the ATT for next year's strategy, we should see a focus on implementation of the 30% procurement, the 85% of the 10 set aside, but also opening the market at private sector level for small businesses also.
Chair, I agree 100% with you. And also, maybe to add, we must look into the possibility of an ombudsman so that where small businesses get bullied by big business in this regard, then there must be a place to go. I mean, at the moment they come to you, and we need ombudsman. So my proposal is that you take your proposal, but add that the department looks at the possibility of introducing an ombudsman.
Are there any other additions? Not know if that's going to engage in the usual manner. And Honorable Laos Nayenje Namhlanje is quiet. And I feel that I can feel that many of the contributions, Honorable Papa and Honorable Laos, I need the contributions. Yes.
Let me come with a naughty my worry is that when we are making recommendations, we come with discussion. Whatever is going to be a recommendation as the end or an end product of the discussion. Even sometimes in the document itself, you find that when you have the discussion is there, they made some elaborations, for example, whereas discussions are in the document and somehow, sometimes in the observation. That's my first one. Let me stop there for now.
You are therefore recommending that we improve.
school in a recommendation that we made, and not cloud the recommendation with an opposition.
Yes,
sir. I think that point is taken. Honor of that. Any other conversation? Done. Okay. Can we then? Can we then? Can we deal with the last recommendation that we have made, so that then we can move towards the adoption of the opportunity?
All or everything that members have actually said. Some, for instance, will be included in the recommendations that are already there to avoid the repetition. For instance, the issue of the red tape strategy, under 8.5. Also, Chairperson, we have just referred to the department developing some form of a strategy make sure that the 85% procurement and the 30% procurement is implemented without delay. I think I can also beef up 8.6, where we specifically directed the department to develop retail and leasing charter. On others, Honorable Dlamini Zuma,
I said in the beginning, we need to be sensitive about diplomacy. Because if development of a wholesale and infrastructure, but if we are saying, one, a department should look at development of a strategy to implement a policy, one cabinet resolution of 2007, ten products, 85% of them procured from small businesses. Number two, SONA, we have always said that a pronouncement by the state president during SONA, it becomes a policy. But if there is no department that picks them up to operationalize it, it then remains a speech. And we are then saying, president has pronounced that 30% of goods and services will be procured from small businesses, from SMEs and cooperatives in the government sector and from the by state-owned companies and government departments. The third one is we would want also that policy expanded to include the private. Clear, there's no charter, it's just an implementation. And Mam Kiza Gemand will say yes, good is team. But Mam Kuma get charter, Mam Kiza Gazi will be in the charter. So, you call me a Kulume, it documents yes. I Kulume na Bantu es Kuluma na, but all small businesses, because some of them can't even read and write. We are not talking to ourselves. So, also through maybe the secretariat,
it can be corrected as, when we are drafting a report on the day also where we are going to be adopting it with the amendment. Then when we are saying the content advisor, read back to us what he has written, having listened to the points that were made by the member, we can then say to us where we will find. Because it then means that we will adopt a report that we do not know how the amendment will be framed. And it then reflects on us, because the people that will be reading that report will, their understanding is that it will be a report from us. It can't be corrected. If you need assistance, you should actually ask for an addition, an additional person, like when Nona was here, so that when we are asking you to read back to us what is, how you have phrased the recommendation, you are able to say to you, if you don't come back to us again, you will try. Can you read what you have captured? Then we will add the interject.
The department must explore alternative ways of finding affordable financing for small enterprises in an effort to prevent exploitation by financial intermediaries, including, where possible, the amendment of the Usury Act. The Usury Act. The next one, the department must expedite the creation of cooperative development agencies so as to champion the creation of cooperative financial institutions and cooperative banks, promotion of cooperative stock wells with a view to converting them into cooperative financial institutions and cooperative banks. The next one.
I guess we are looking at the interest rate. It's not specific in the manner in which it was said, but then the one that you're talking about, the development, the cooperative bank development agency, is clouded with the cooperative development agency. Those are two different. The development, the cooperative bank development agency is in existence. It falls under the Department of Treasury. They develop the Cooperative Development Agency. It has to be established. It doesn't exist. There is an act that provides for its establishment. Separate those two because they are separate agencies. It's not on the report. It is something that has been proposed here.
In fact, below that, Chairperson, there is another recommendation which says there is CBDA that is already in existence. But how it is structured is happening without consultation. Then I was going to expand. There has to be an interaction at Portfolio Committee level, including the engagement with the
CBDA itself.
I'll respond to you. There is CDA or Cooperative Development Agency as per Cooperative Act of 2005. Then there is a Cooperative Bank Development Agency, which is founded in terms of a different act other than the Cooperative Act of 2005. So the Cooperative Bank Development Agency, the last one that I'm referring to say there is a CBDA that is in existence, but how it is structured is happening, restructured is happening without the consultation with the portfolio committee of the department. There has to be an interaction at PC level and the department level going forward. But I will still notify you going forward. Another one, Chair, I'm saying the existing instruments, in terms of financial instruments, are not helping small businesses. The department must also explore other means of helping SMEs and corporations in a manner that promotes self-reliance, which should be modeled from the Grameen Bank of Bangladesh. I think I'll still expand on this one. Creation of ombudsman. It doesn't have the question of this one, so that I wanted to ask, but I've kept that.
You mustn't ask that question. Leave it as it is. Propose when the department presents it as a strategy plan, then we would have advised the committee in terms of what is it that you need to ask for. But yeah, we don't jam in general because it's going to delay us and we will start the new debate.
Thank you. Look at the last one that I picked up. So as a result, we end up with sitting at 19 recommendations now.
Let's take one covered.
It is covered, but it's not a separate recommendation or a disclosure. It's under that where we say the department must submit all the acts, the policies, the strategies, and that specifically stated that the red tape strategy to be there.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
That is what creates in the context in policies, which was funded by Honorable Park. Say when you are making a recommendation, you must be short and specific so that anyone who is listening understands. Things like cloud. Can you just make that one a standard way?
Dungeon.
And can we count on the 80% expansion?
The department must develop a strategy to implement Cabinet Resolution of 2007 to procure 85% of goods and services from SMEs and corporations.
Okay.
The 10 set aside projects from SMEs and corporations. Then, yeah.
designated products, not satisfied. Yeah. We should say designated, 10 designated products.
Mm-hmm.
And then the expansion of the very different procurement from small businesses and small companies to cover the private sector. The last one for me is the review of the cooperative sector in relation to the establishment of the secondary cooperative. The Cooperative Act is saying a secondary cooperative can only be established 2 years after the establishment of the primary cooperative. And that retards the progress of cooperatives. You don't have to start with the primary co-op and then with the secondary co-op. You can start with the medium. Because the secondary co-op is not grade 2. It's a cooperative that provides a service to its members who would be the primary cooperative. It can be established on the same day. So it requires a review because there is no funding for the secondary co-op, which would have assisted the primary co-op to access other services. But the 2 year period as put in the current act prevents us from happening. So I'm saying that there is a need to revisit the Cooperative Act. Any other? Are we here now?
Thank you. Yeah, kind of, it's